I heard another pastor say this: there's no better way to honor God than when He speaks, that we react or we move or we respond. And another thing that I couldn't help think of is, as I was looking at this Christmas tree and it was dark, if Miss Gay would notice if I took the top half of it home and brought it back on Sunday. That's a beautiful Christmas tree, but it don't quite look like that at my house. Very nice tree. Do you think I can get away with that? Well, all right. Before we get started tonight, I want to open it with a word of prayer, and then we'll get moving. If you would, let's bow. Lord, thank You for this day. God, thank You for the time that You've given us. Lord, we thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, and we thank You for moving in this service already. Lord, we come here to worship You, Lord. Lord, and only You. Lord, it's not about us. Lord, it is truly about You, God. God, and I pray that You'd move amongst us. Lord, and if there be one here today, Lord, that does not know You, Lord, that today would be the last day that they were that way, Lord. That they would leave here with You as their Savior. Lord, it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. All right. You know, the title of this would be God's Voice, but we're going to go over a few things before we get there. I was thinking about the times that I drive back and forth by the church. And you know, I have quite a bit of time off of work, and I pass by here. And, you know, like Tuesday, for example, I went and picked up the new order of sweatshirts. So the sweatshirt or hoodies, I'm sorry. The hoodies are here. And I drove by, and I remember turning in, and I saw that new stretch of asphalt that we've got out at the front and how smooth it is, and how there's improvements going on and how the place is changing. And I couldn't help but think, you know, how should I come into this? What mindset should I have pulling on to the property, God's house, God's place? What mindset should I have? Even there's no one else here except me. I'm the only one that's going to be here at the time. And I begin to think in my mind, you know, what am I looking for? What am I truly expecting when I get here? In reality, what I want is the best relationship here and outside this place that I can have with the Lord, that my mind and my body can handle. The best relationship, the strongest one that I could possibly bear. The truth is, I just want to honor God. I think we all do. That's what we want to do. But the best way to respond, like I said a while ago, is when the Lord speaks, that we'd move. That's what we would do. And see, when I come here today, when I come here before we got started, I remember turning in the parking lot and thinking, all right, Lord, what is it that You'd want me to do? How is it that we're going to move forward with this service? And I pray that the Holy Spirit would be here and that He would speak to us. And that's what I started doing when I was way out there. And I go, all this to say this. Really, if you bundle all that up just into something that you could just hang on to, I just want to hear from God. That's it. People say, why do you go to church? Well, I want to be where the Lord is. And people say, well, aren't you saved? Well, yes. Well, doesn't the Holy Spirit live in you? Yes. I just want more. And if it takes me coming through the doors to get more, that's what I'll do. But let's read a little bit of Scripture. And then we're going to read 5 verses from Matthew, and it's going to be in chapter 9. And we're going to be talking about Matthew for just a moment, not that one, a different one. And we're going to understand exactly, you know, to get the perspective, we need to read this passage. But it's Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, and we're going to read through 13. And the book says this. It says, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, He saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans, sinners, came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the truth is, that scripture right there covers a lot of ground. It covers a lot of territory. And that those five verses, there's a bunch of stuff that goes down right there. And Jesus walked by, and the scripture doesn't go into a ton of detail of what happened there. But it just sounds like Jesus walked by at a fairly brisk pace, looked at Matthew, said, "Follow me." And Matthew immediately went and followed him. Now, the scripture doesn't go into any more detail than that, but that's all it gives me. That's what I'm going to believe happened. Remember earlier I was telling you, the best way that I could respond is when I heard the Lord speak, that I would move. And that looks exactly like what Matthew had done. But if you read a little bit more, starting in verse 10, a little time had passed. And then Matthew and others, sinners, publicans as they called them, were sitting. They were eating. And then the Pharisees come by. And if you'll notice something, the Pharisees didn't go to Jesus. Everything all right? Okay. It didn't go to Jesus. What the Pharisees did was they went to the disciples. And they said, "Hey," it's kind of like this. Bam. Nudge him right on the arm. Get his attention. "Hey, why is it that your teacher is sitting down with sinners and others eating?" But if you notice, no response. But Jesus overhears. And what's he say? Jesus says this. He says, "But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them that they, behold, need not a physician, but they are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth." In other words, I know you heard what I just said, but and you may not understand it, but instead of questioning, why don't you go and find out what that means that I just said? What does that mean? So Jesus offers the Pharisees something just as well as he offered Matthew. Matthew, follow me. Matthew moves. He offers the Pharisees something. Did they move? There's another spot in the Bible. Matthew 5:37, it says something like this. I don't have it memorized. It says, "Let your answer be yes or no. And anything in between is from the evil one." Matthew said yes. The truth is, the Pharisees said nothing. They didn't make any response at all, period. Remember what I said, when I come through, I'm looking for God's voice. Matthew heard it, and some others heard it. They didn't respond in any way. And I think that the way that you're going to be able to do, and the way that I'm going to be able to do, and act like Matthew, and follow, and listen, and respond in such a way, is that I have to have a few things. And one of them is peace with God. I cannot follow the Lord. I'm not going to be able to have peace with the Lord and move in a relationship with him if I don't have a relationship to rely on. I can't have the peace that he talks about. And the truth is, a lot of times what we try to do, and this is something I've been guilty of myself, is I start trying to earn peace with God. It's like this right here. How many of you ever been to a camp out at my house? Okay. How many of you ever been to camp? All right. How many of you have been part of another event that's held here? Fall Festival. Sold any of the bed sheets that we've got. Hoodies. All those things, you got that. It's like I'm so interested in doing those things, which all those things are good, that I'm less concerned with actually finding Jesus and having peace with him. John 14:27 goes over a little bit. We'll get to it in just a second. You know, we're looking for that peace. What I'd be doing is I remember when I was younger. I would go to church, I would work, I would do all the stuff. But what I was really looking for was the peace that God offers, and I was trying to replace it with something. In John 14:27, it says, Jesus says this, said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, let it not be afraid." What he's saying, what the Lord is saying here at this moment is, I'm trying to give you something. I want to give you peace, the very peace that you seek. But the question is, why would we get it? And the truth is, we can't earn it. The only way that we're going to be able to receive it is because he said I could. He says it right there. Peace I leave with you. You can't earn it. You can't get it. You can't obtain it by any other way. He has to give it to you. See, it's not the same. Like I was telling you a while ago, I would do and I would do and I would do. And the adults that are a little bit older than you, our desires change a little bit. Instead of the peace that we're looking that we can get from the Lord, and instead of selling bed sheets and taking part in camps and things like that, a lot of times what we'll do is we start looking, again, speaking from an adult aspect, we start looking for money, comfort. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows what money is. Who wants money for Christmas this year? Me. I'm probably not going to get any, but I want some. But that's going to bring a little bit of comfort in my life. Adults start to do that. I need money. Well, what else? I need a great job. And those things aren't bad things. But instead of leaning on the Lord and for the peace in their life, they start leaning on other things to almost a, how would you say this? It's a fake. I would always be happy if I just had a little bit more money or a little bit better job or a little bit better hours or a little bit nicer vehicle. But the truth is, once you get those things, most of the time, you're in the same exact boat you were before you started. I heard someone in here say one time, if I could just win the lottery. Well, that's a bunch of money. And a lot of people want to win the lottery. But I tell you what, and I mean this as serious as I can say it, it's not going to replace the peace that Jesus is going to give you. You can't get it that way. I've heard Brother Joe say this before, if you were able to buy salvation and a ticket to heaven, the line would be long and people would be in debt up to their ears just to get it. You can't get it that way. He's got to give it to you. And the only way you're going to get it from him is trusting him. I'm relying on the Lord's voice. That's the one I'm relying on, the one that's going to give me the peace. And I thought about this, and this whole message is really, truly just a reflection of my teenage years as an early Christian. I can remember everything that's written right there I can think of myself. Every drop of it. I thought about it like this. I remember I would go to church. This is what I would do. Much like you guys. And the youth group was smaller, but they would sing songs. And as they would sing the songs, I would look, and as long as they were singing, I'd sing. And then, you know, somebody would get that hand going. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody's about to put their hand up. And as long as they were doing it, I'd do it. I was good with it. I'm in. If they were dancing, I'd dance. If they were clapping, I'd clap. We'd have a good time. But when they quit, I did too. If they'd pray, I'd pray. But when I walked back outside the doors, I was just me again. I didn't change. Nothing was any different. I just come in here. In other words, I come in here to serve the Lord right where you're sitting. But when I went out the doors right there, it wasn't like that. It was different. And then that's when I began to look at my life. And I began to start to seek the peace from the Lord. Because I didn't have it. That's just the truth. It wasn't there. I wasn't saved. See, and if you have a... It's like this. I've heard some of you say before, I had a hard time coming to the Wednesday night service because my favorite TV show was on. And I was looking at it. And I just had the hardest time getting away from it to come to church. And what that's a reflection of is, which one gives you more peace? Presence with God or that TV show? The truth is, at my house, TV might not turn on for a couple of weeks. Because we don't have time. People say, well, every time I see you, you're at church. That's my other friends that won't come here to church. I'm trying to get them here. Every Monday, you're at church. Every Sunday, you're at church twice a day. How about Wednesday? You're at church. If there's an event going, you're at church. You know why? Because I'm afraid not to be. I'm afraid if I'm not here, what would I be doing? I'd rather be here than anywhere else. And point number two, and I know this is going a little slow, but it's going to speed up. It's going to speed up. And number two, it says, I can follow him because he said I could. Just like number one, I can have peace because he said I could. So I can follow the Lord because he said I could. Again, I can't earn my way to following the Lord. You know, there's so many spots in the scripture where the man says, what must I do? What's Jesus tell him? He says, go sell everything you got and come on back. He walked away sad. He didn't want to sell everything. Why not? Because it meant something to him. It meant something more than the Lord did. And he showed Jesus that. Only Jesus can give you the permission to do these things. Only following the Lord. It's not something we do. It's something we're given. In Matthew 16, starting in verse 24, it said, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall not lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." See, that's the thing. Sometimes we skip that peace part, part one, and go straight to number two. And it's like this. You see someone come into church, especially young like you guys, and they're on fire. And they're working in the nursery. They're singing. They're helping with every single event. They're here, and the doors are open. You look, and you start to see the drain on them. And they get tired. And they look like they're shorter every time they walk in the door. It's because their bowed slam over. They don't have any more energy. And you say, "What's wrong?" And you say, I'm just tired. And you say, "Well, cheer up. Is there something I can help you pray for?" And they start to get burnt out. They can't do anymore. They've done so much. And what they're trying to do is earn their way to follow God. They're trying to say, "I'm going to do everything I can and earn my way into it." Well, who knows Chad Dean? I want to describe him to you. Big, tall guy. Stays in the sound booth a lot. Really big guy. All right. He comes to this church. It's Terry Hayes' son. All right. Big guy. Well, at work the other day, he comes by sometimes. He knows how to do what I do. So sometimes he comes by and helps me. And I was in Alabama, and he was at work. And he's really, really good at what he does. And I thought that I had all the Jehovah Witnesses run out. And he calls me, and it's 8 o'clock in the morning. "What's Chad want? Hello? Hey, brother, what's going on?" I said, "Well, I'm standing here on a dock with no boards on top of it. I'm fixing a dock." And so I'm standing like this. And I'm on the phone like this, and my dad's looking at me, and he's like, "Why is he on the phone?" You know, "Well, it's Chad, you know, the guy that's at home." And he says, "I really don't know what to do here." And I said, "Well, what's the problem?" He said, "Well, one of them is in here." And I thought, "Them? What's he talking about? We don't have any enemies." And he said, "No, you know, one of them." And I said, "Chad, you're going to have to elaborate." He said, "Well, I don't want to be mean to this guy, and he's trying to hand me a watchtower." And I said, "Why don't you just take every single one of them he's got?" And he said, "What?" And I said, "Then go throw them in the trash and nobody else will get them." And he said, "No, I'm looking for something." He said, "Have you got a track or something around here I can hand him?" And I said, "Yes." And I began to describe him. By that time, the guy had left the book and was gone. And that's the kind of things that happened to me. The very first day, he's out there by himself, and the Jehovah's Witness come up and get all over him. But Chad knew what to do. But and just like when they come by and talk to me, when they come by and talk to him, they begin to tell me, "You're really," what they're saying without saying is, "You got to earn your way. You got to earn your way to follow God. You've got to follow God. And in the end, when you die, you'll see if you make the top so many. And if you do, you go to heaven. If not, you just go to dirt." That's what they say. But the Bible don't say that. The Bible says, take up your cross daily. It's like this. I find all the things about me that I don't like. My bad attitude. My grumpiness. Is anybody in here grumpy? I see a few of you. I've seen it too. All right, grumpy. Yeah, especially if you get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I know, it's tough. But you take all of that stuff, and it's like they say, take up your cross daily, and you throw it on your shoulder. And you look, and you say, "I'm going to live this day for the Lord. Today I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to take all this nastiness, and I'm going to throw it on my shoulder, and I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to put it aside, and I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to live for Him." But if you look at the Scripture, what he says, he said, take up his cross and follow me. And you know, that's just three little words, and follow me. Well, Jesus is gone. He's not here. The Holy Spirit is, but Jesus is the right hand of the Father. What do you mean, follow me? You know, in another spot in the Bible, Jesus talks about the narrow path. He said, no man comes to the Father but through me. That's the path. You're going to follow him. It's that narrow path. And the truth, we ourselves and our ego is too big for the path. You've got to set it aside. Put it aside. Move forward. And why can we do that? Simply because he said, I can do this. I can do it. He gave me the permission. And now we're getting on with the busier part. And the third point, it's like this. I can go to heaven. Why can I go to heaven? Because he said that I can go to heaven. Again, I can't earn my way to heaven. It's like reading this right here. And you got to understand, if I'm going to go to heaven, it's not because I did anything to earn it to get there. It's because he said, I can do it. He said, this is what he said. This is the scripture that goes with the peace. This is when he's talking. Listen, this is so important. He's talking with the man on the cross. Jesus is on a cross, and there's two others sitting there. And it's Luke 23, starting at verse 39. It says, and one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeedly just, for we receive for due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. The thief's talking about the Lord. He said, hey, hush, man. We're all in the same spot here. We're about to die. Are you not afraid of God? But this one up here, he didn't do anything to deserve this. And he's talking about the Lord. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That's good news for you and me. Because the thief was being punished for being a thief. He didn't do anything to earn his way into heaven. He just simply believed that Jesus is Jesus. That's what it is. Now, there's a few things that go along with that. But you know, he didn't hand out 1,500 tracts. He didn't do that. He just believed Jesus was the Lord. And that's what makes this lesson so special to me, because these are the thoughts that are running through my mind when I was your age. This was all covered in that little bit of scripture that we read earlier. It shows that it can't be earned. It shows that you're not going to get it that way, but here's the last point, and the best one, as far as what will speak to you. You know that the Bible says you can go to hell if you want to? The Bible says that people will be able to go to hell if that's what they want to do. That's the Lord said that that's the way, if that's the way that you want it to be, and you won't choose me, that's what can happen. You know, God lays it out pretty plain in front of us. If you look in Deuteronomy, it's chapter 30, verse 19. It says this. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before your life and death. Life and death. Blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your seed may live. In other words, you and your family may live. Choose life. So a lot of times we think about people going to hell. On this hand, we think of this big, ugly man. It's vicious. He shoots people when they're not looking. He steals stuff from them. He does all those things. He's a murderer. That's what you think when you think, oh, that guy's going to hell. But the truth is, there's going to be all sorts of people in hell. You know why I think that, you know, you don't hear many folks talk about hell that much? Because it's just not fun to talk about. The thoughts of somebody going to hell scares me. Nobody wants to talk about that. That's horrible. But it's possible. It's like this. Imagine this. Imagine that every day a young lady or a young man, every Sunday, comes through the door. And they come down and they sit with their group wherever they're at. And they sing a song. And they look to the left. And they look to the right. And if everybody else is singing, they'll sing. And then somebody's hand will start to go up. And they look. And if everybody else's hand's up, their hand will go up. Is the story starting to sound familiar? And then they'll listen to a preacher and he'll bring the message and it'll be a good message. And God's word will start to move on the people and people will start to respond and somebody will go to an altar. Somebody will get saved. And that person will sit there and they will hear, they will feel conviction and they will know that they're lost. But they cannot make themselves move. And then the choir will sing another song and they'll go home. And then the next week, they do it all over again until they become used to it and until it becomes very easy to sit there through that. And then you think, well, will that person go to hell? If they never accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's where they'll be. We don't think of them people in hell. We just think of the nasty ones. It's not like that. Here's this. All too often, we fool ourselves sometimes. You know, the truth is that it's really, really honestly not about us. The Lord spoke. It's not His will that any man should perish, that nobody should go to hell. That's not what's out there that He wants you to do. He doesn't want that. It's we that choose it if we choose to go there. Now, the hardest part of any time that you speak on hell, for me, is to actually say that sometimes, you know, if people don't accept the Lord, that's where their destiny is. I don't want to say that to anybody. The truth is, I love every single one of you. And I don't know what eternity will hold. But what if one of the people sitting beside you wasn't going to make it? They would never surrender. What would you do now? What would you be doing right now? Would you be absolutely begging them? Whatever you do, don't leave here without a relationship with God. Whatever you do, please don't leave. It would scare you to death to know that I'm going to be there and I'm never going to see him again. They're never going to make it. That bothers me to my core. That makes me hurt on the inside. And I'm going to ask that y'all go ahead and get ready with your last song. But this is what matters. And I told you this at the beginning. I told you that it's not God's desire that anybody die and go to hell. But when the Lord speaks and we hear His voice, it's our responsibility to respond. It's kind of like this. If you went to a doorway every single Sunday and you walked in, and you went to this doorway and it was square and you looked at it and you grabbed the door handle and you opened it up and you listened to the message. And then when you were done, you shut the door back. Every Sunday, that's what you did. You went to the door, you opened it up, you looked around, you looked inside, you listened to the message, you shut the door back. And you get so used to it that that's what you do every Sunday. You go to the door, you open the door. But what would happen if one day you went to the door, just like you do your bedroom door, and you grab that door handle and you go to snatch it and it don't move? It's locked. And you think, you look at it real good, think, what am I going to do now? This door's locked. How am I going to get inside? And you start looking and there's no keyhole. And you begin to look at it real close, and then panic comes over you. Can I tell you that there will be a day where it won't be available? It's not always going to be ready. The things that you do is you respond when God calls. And I truly believe that God speaks to people in this church, and I believe that God is speaking to someone tonight. So I'm not going to prolong this. If the Lord has spoken to you, if you would, rise to your feet. If the Lord has spoken to you, I may have said that out of turn there. If the Lord has spoken to you and you feel compelled to move, would you honor God by coming and speaking with Him? Please.
is my heart, Lord. Speak what is true. Is my heart, Lord. Is my heart, Lord. Is my heart, Lord. Speak.